Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence, orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's all right. I'm going to be fine. This is Wretched Radio. No, I didn't have to lay ties on a railroad track. I understand my lot in life is quite easy. God has drawn my line in pleasant places, but it was really hard on Friday. Jimmy, how many hours did we spend in this here? What do we call this now? A tomb?
We call it
the cooler. Seriously, I felt like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape. I'm just locked in a box and I've got nothing to do but throw a baseball against a wall or read the book. So here we are on Monday, and 7.5 hours was kind of pushing it. I know I shouldn't complain, but I am reading the book, which will be pre-sale available tomorrow. It is titled Go Serve Your King, The Key to Extraordinary Purpose in Everyday Life. It's written by one Todd Frielius. The foreword is by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. It is our hope that you will consider availing yourself of this book, in particular if you would like to hopefully receive a tool that will help you connect your faith to the rest of your life. Dualism is a plague where your faith sits just comfortably in spaces. And even though you might be a really faithful Christian, you can easily feel like, but I'm not living the 24/7 life because I'm doing stuff. I'm playing with the kids. I've got work to do. The lawn has to be mowed. I'm not living the Christian life. Yes, you are. And this book called Go Serve Your King will help you to see that so you can have more joy in everything you do and see how God is already in the crevices of your life. You do not need to go find where He's working. You just need to be aware that He already is. That'll be available tomorrow, and hopefully, by then, my throat will be recovered. Goes, Jimmy, we only got about a third of the way through the book.
Yeah, it was a long day.
No, it was a beating. It was an absolute beating because it was like a cruel joke. They give me the book, and I open it up to read it, and I got my cheaters on. Look at the fonts. It's got to be like 10-point font. So in the introduction, which is pretty brief, and the first chapter, Jimmy, how many times did I have to stop and go, what is that word?
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, determine. Oh, I thought it was detrimental. I couldn't see a thing. Yeah. How many times did I have to? No, you know the number.
Yeah, quite a bit.
200.
It's 273.
It was dreadful. So my apologies, whoever has to deal with that in post. It will be available starting tomorrow wherever you do your book buying business. You can do it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pre-orders, Walmart. All of those places will have this book available starting tomorrow. We hope that it is a blessing to you. And we'll keep banging away at the audio version of the book. More again on Friday. Jimmy, is that the next scheduled recording schedule?
That's what I've been threatened with.
Cool. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
Guess what I have in the studio right now?
What's that?
A Christian dinosaur.
A Christian dinosaur?
Yeah, now Ken Ham, his ears just perked up. Not that he listens to this program, but he'd figure out some way to make it a Christian dinosaur as long as it's in Genesis someplace. No, I've got a genuine Christian dinosaur because I have a very rare species sitting at the table next to me. When was the last time you met somebody who was like Philip? The reality is, it might be Philip who is the only person that you have ever been acquainted with who is an evangelist. It is clearly a gift in the Bible that you have a gift of. There are people who have a gift of evangelism. I would even make the case that there could be an office of evangelist because it's listed with elder, deacon, evangelist. Do you know one? Yeah, you probably don't because they are such a rare bird. Philip might be the only one that you're aware of because you've read about Philip the Evangelist. Well, I happen to have one here. His name is Andrew Walkington. The cat dragged him in on Friday. Andrew, you're all jet lagged from Australia.
I'm getting better. I actually slept through the night last night.
Well, congratulations.
You know, it only took me 3 days to actually not wake up at 3 a.m. kind of go, why am I awake?
Oh, that trip is a pistol from Australia to here and back and forth. Don't worry, you're just gonna settle in after 3 weeks here, and then you're gonna have to go back and do it all over again. I hope it was worth it. The name of your organization is
OAC Ministries.
Okay, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, and you know it's funny because that actually causes problems because it's officially just been a set of initials since the early 80s. It once upon a time was known as Open Air Campaigners.
There you go.
But if I had a dollar for every time someone's asked me, what does OAC stand for? And my official answer is it no longer officially stands for anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it's just...
You know, your organization needs to get in touch. You need to come to the States and meet some of these seeker-sensitive gurus. They'll come up with a name for you. It's like reaching up, reaching out, something hipper than that, but nevertheless.
Well, what I need is a Southern Baptist who can figure out what those initials should stand for. We get some alliteration in place.
We could do that for you all. You see, in America, we do things like that.
Oh, much appreciated.
Yeah. All righty. So you are in town because you are visiting different ministries.
That is correct.
And Oak.
It's been done.
Oak. Yeah. They've also got a branch here in America.
Yeah, they do. And so next week, I'm going to be up in the far north of the US, watching the way they run a particular training program and seeing what we can replicate from them. And then I'm going to spend a week in Baltimore, where I'm actually going to join those guys on the street doing some outreach. But I'm like, if I'm flying to the other side of the world, I'm going to go and visit some ministries. And you guys were very high on my list.
And you are also going to go see...
I'm off to see Mr. Ham. So yeah, I got to meet Ken a couple of years ago. I love Ken. I've got to know him a bit in the last few years. So
Can I tell you, I am so agitated with myself about Ken Ham. Don't worry, I'm agitated with him too, but I'm agitated about him.
Right.
Because he made a video. Apparently, every once in a while, the curse of Ham comes up, right? One of the children of Noah, right? And for all of these years, I failed to use it to describe him, the curse of Ken Ham. I'm so agitated I didn't think about it. I had to see his video on it to go, wait a second, he's the curse of Ham.
Yeah, you know what he wants me to call you as well, don't you?
I'm sure.
Neffel Todd. Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
I got to tell you something. This Australian, like, you show affection by taking digs at one another. Man, it is serious.
It's a serious national pastime.
No, it
is. It's got to be done properly.
It's like a seriously big, it's like, and it's not even apologetically, like just joshing, just kidding. It's like, man, you look stupid and ugly.
It can be pretty brutal.
It's like saying, I like you.
It can be really brutal, but part of it is also that then you've got enough trust with this other person that they know that when you're having a dig at them, it's only kind of in jest.
Yeah, it's a thing. So speaking of Australia, you do open air preaching there. You do evangelism there on the streets full time.
Yeah.
You're an odd duck. And one of the things that I think people in the States in particular would appreciate is hearing what it is like as an evangelist to go out into the streets of Australia specifically. How free are you to do open air preaching and one-on-one evangelism?
Yeah, look, it's really limited. OAC, 130 something year history in Australia, started in open air preaching. We had a guy stand up on a box in the middle of Sydney and preach open air. That's our roots. The challenge is that the culture and the laws have changed to the point where the ministries had to change. So there are one or two spots in Brisbane where I'm from where I could go and do open air preaching.
That's it.
Where it's the legal thing. And if I go there and preach, I could preach to two pigeons.
They put it over there.
Yeah, they tucked it over in a corner somewhere. The center of Brisbane, there's a kind of a pedestrian mall called Queen Street Mall. Not only can I not stand up on a soapbox and preach there, I cannot stand and hand out gospel tracts. In fact, in that space, I can't even be spotted going and approaching people one-on-one for conversations. If the council spots me and figures out what I'm doing, they will find me. So we don't have, the US has a right to free speech, which gives you guys access to go into places and exercise that right to free speech to preach the gospel. We don't have such a right in our constitution.
That's crazy.
Well, look, it's just the roots of the way our countries come together. And so...
But as Americans, we hear that and it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You can't even walk up to somebody and say, hi, what do you believe?
If you're going to do it, you got to be discreet. You got to be careful.
But it's against the law is what you're saying.
If they think that you're making a pest of yourself to do that, then yeah, they'll fine you. Now, there are places where you've got a little bit more space. So you can be on a public footpath as long as you're not obstructing traffic and that you've got a little bit more freedom there. But sometimes you're tending to catch people who are really moving. Right,
but if I were going down the streets and I wanted to sell these cough drops, or not sell them, just share how wonderful these Ricola cough drops are. And I started to, hey, did you hear about Ricola cough drops? Okay, they're really wonderful. And then I go to the next person. Would they stop me for that?
Potentially. I watched a short, actually, of a business in Australia get fined for promoting the laundry detergent in the middle of Queen Street Mall.
Wow. So what I'm not saying I'm a conspiracy theorist, but what I'm putting together here is the Australian government is actually running the detergent factories. That's what I picked up from that. Andrew Walkington, Oak, OAC, will share with us more evangelism in Australia, and maybe help us appreciate even more the liberty that we have to do so here. This is Wretched Radio.
You know the cycle. You're not alone. Temptation hits. You tell yourself, not this time, and then you do it anyway. You feel disgusting afterwards. You say you're sorry. You swear it'll never happen again, and then you're alone, and it does. Slaying the dragon, this is not another strategy. This is not a band-aid. It's not five tips to better accountability. This is an audio resource, and it's designed to give you what you need to never fall into this temptation again. Slaying the dragon, it's streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Boosnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. It's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. A Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched. Amazing. Grace, amazing gospel.
Some struggles stay hidden for years. For many Christian women, pornography is one of them.
If you're listening and this is your struggle, I want you to know that shame and secrecy are not God's will for you.
Out of the Shadows is a three-part series from Fortis Institute hosted by our very own Libby Glosson, and it was made for the woman who believes she's the only one. Available right now at fortisplus.org.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on FortisPlus.org.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Practicing self-control. Might. I failed. This is Wretched Radio. Do you get weary from that, Andrew Walkington from Australia?
No, look, I appreciate the attempts to...
Okay, come on. I know it bugs you. It has to bug you. Put some shrimp on the barbie, mate. How many times have you heard that?
That one's cringy. That one's really cringy.
Andrew Walkington from Oak, OAC, open air. Well, they used to be open air campaigners, and people can see... And do you have any videos out there people can watch if they want to?
Yeah, there's a little bit. I mean, you can go and find us on Google OAC, or you can go oac.org.au. You can find us. We got a little bit of video of us doing some stuff.
Doing some open air preaching. Well, as much as you can in Australia.
Yeah.
You can't do open air preaching there unless it's in that little space that they give you.
Yeah, so I guess the shift that we've made over those years then, especially in the Brisbane area where I'm based, is we focus a lot more on the one-to-one. It's a little more discreet. So rather than approaching crowds and trying to speak to a lot of people at once, we've gained a lot of traction with just teaching people to do the one-to-one. And the benefit of that is not many Christians can stand on the soapbox and do good open-air preaching. But most Christians, mm-hmm. with a little training, can learn to share their faith in that interpersonal style. So that's where we've really invested our energy.
Well, my hope is that for anybody who's listening who's on the fence, you and I would make the distinction. People do have the gift of evangelism. Not everybody does. There are a few that do, but there are many that don't. Nevertheless, that does not relieve their responsibility to make the most of every opportunity and share the gospel. So we're all called to do that, maybe not on the streets, but to make the most of every opportunity. Maybe hearing how restrictive it is in Australia might just encourage us to go, we should be taking advantage of this, because... I don't think that any of us can prophesy how one nation will track another. But as we look at what's happening in Great Britain, as we see what's happening in Australia, you can't help but go, there's inklings of that here. There are plenty of progressives who would love to shut down Christians. And what you said earlier was fascinating. If you're just like, they perceive you're bugging somebody, you can't talk in public.
Yeah.
That's crazy to us, and yet it could be coming.
Look, you never know. And I think you guys have got much better protections built into your government systems than we do. You guys have got some constitutional rights that have kind of been ingrained. But I mean, constitutions can be changed. You get the wrong government in for long enough.
Yeah.
You can lose those freedoms.
It's real hard to do that, but they can nevertheless, if they permeate government, they can shut it down on the local level. And yes,
yeah.
You can do the court route, but that can take years also.
But it's not impossible that you guys can lose freedom.
It's not impossible.
So, I take the encouragement.
We can lose our freedoms, but I hope that we would be encouraged. Get on it. In particular, what would you say is, even in Australia, the best place to do one-on-one witnessing?
Got to be universities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't go on to the university itself because it is essentially privately managed. I know.
Bonkers.
I know that makes you scream about it, But what I've got there is there's a little funnel of space on the entrance of the university. And look, it is the best spot, because I think university students are just some of the best. We used to language fishing with evangelism. It's the best fishing there is.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And they, before they get in the gates and they're walking from their public transport or whatever else, I can be there for hours and hours, and they're just coming and going.
And you arrest them and talk to them.
Yeah, and the conversations are amazing.
Now, have you noticed though, Andrew? I have, and I don't want to taint you in your answer. Have you noticed a change in the receptivity of the university students over the last 5 years?
I've been doing it in some form or other for about 20 years, and I've noticed a really big change. And I know others have spotted this too. And the really big shift is, my demographic, which is the young white Caucasian guy, used to be considered the hardest demographic to reach. We were just closed down. Those have become some of the easiest fishing there is. There's been a cultural shift the last few years. If you will ask people the right questions and you will encourage them to share their responses, they just open up. And it's amazing, because I've had students stop and talk to me for an hour.
Oh, it
2 hours
all the time.
And then the funny one is when they finish the conversation, I say, well, what are you going to do now? And they're like, I don't know. I just missed my class.
Yep.
I stayed here and I talked to you the whole time. They would rather stay and talk to me about this stuff than go and sit on an economics lecture.
What do you suppose it is? that has caused this shift, whether it's white, black, purple, I don't care, that there's a difference.
I suspect that something in the last few years, and maybe you point it back to the whole COVID lockdowns, I think the culture is shifting. We see that real sort of polemical divide between the left and the right politically. I think it's created an uncertainty in people's minds about who I am, what do I believe, why do I believe it? And if you'll dig into that with, the right questions and ask them, why do you hold the views you do? Where did you get that from? Did you actually think it through, or did you kind of just absorb that worldview from somewhere? Most of the time, they kind of scratch their heads and go, you know what? I actually don't know where I got this, and I don't know why I hold it, and I don't know why I believe it. And then that starts opening the door to move from there to say, well, what other views have you considered? Do you understand the Christian worldview? What do you know about it? Most of the time, it's wrong. And so then that opens the door for us to preach the gospel.
Now, your big thing, because you spent time at Alpharetta Bible Church yesterday talking to us about evangelism after church.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And you said, if you remember nothing else from the 2 hours you chatted with us, ask questions.
Yes.
Ask questions, especially up front.
Yeah, especially up front. Because one of the things, especially ministry in the public, but it's the same if you're chatting to your neighbor over the
private,
fence.
Private, it doesn't matter.
They don't have to stay and listen to you. There's no expectation that says, you will stand there while I tell you about Jesus. That right has to be earned. We have to have we have to earn the right to be heard. And so by asking,
okay, let me just suggest to you, because we've talked about this, that zip codes make a difference.
Yeah.
Okay. In Australia, that might be true, that the asking questions because they don't need to listen to you. It's so polite in the South. They do have to listen to it. No, seriously.
Yeah.
They just, I don't think one time in the South somebody said, look, I'm done with you. You're talking about Jesus. I'm out of here. Never. They stay. Having said that, I still affirm what you're pushing, and that is ask questions.
Look,
it still is a powerful tool.
It might be in the South that they feel they have to, but by asking questions, you're going to increase the, they
exactly.
want to be, they want to stay there. They want to engage. They want to listen to
you. Why do
you
think that is?
Well, I think it's because everyone has a favorite topic.
Uh-huh.
Their favorite topic, everyone's favorite topic in the whole wide world is me and my opinions. And so I unapologetically exploit that. I go up to a person and I'm asking them for their views. Why do they hold the things they do? How did they come to these? I'll spend quite some time asking questions of them and the views they hold. Now, half the time, their worldview starts to collide with itself as they do that, and they see that. And it's not too long before they start to, they kind of look at you like, okay, I clearly haven't got this put together. Do you have anything for me? And I then get to shift to what I believe and why I believe it and how I came to these conclusions.
How many minutes will you spend doing that?
Look, really, sometimes it can happen in just a couple of minutes, depending on the worldview they've started with. I've had that last over an hour before I eventually start kind of moving into the gospel proper. So an hour would be really, really long. But yeah, easily 15, 20 minutes. It's
And what that does is it allows the person to think you're not there to assail them. You're asking them about their favorite subject, themselves. And it does buy you some cred that it doesn't make it seem like you're just there to push something on them. And I think that works wherever you go.
Absolutely.
And it does make the conversation better. And you make a distinction between objective and subjective questions.
Yeah. So objective questions of objective is these are hard facts. These exist. And regardless of my opinions, my preferences, these things are true. Subjective is, it's like, what's the best flavor of ice cream? If I say it's coffee and you say it's something else.
I would actually agree with you.
Okay, so this didn't work. Okay, so, but you know, if you said it's vanilla or something like that, then, you know, what I believe is the best flavor of ice cream, and what you believe might be two very different things. When I'm asking early questions, I'm going to ask a lot more subjective stuff. You know, why do you, you know, how did you reach this? You know, there's going to be inklings of where's your evidence in there, but I want to kind of understand the person. And you're going to have a difference between open questions that really invite the person to speak. And then further on in the conversation, I'm still going to use questions, but some of them are going to be a little more closed because I want to start leading them to conclusions.
Okay. So for instance, I have said over the years, a great question that you can ask people at any time of the year is, hey, do you celebrate Easter?
Mm.
Okay. You would say that's more of an objective question because there's a right and wrong answer about what Easter is.
Yeah.
So you would probably say, A better question would be...
My favorite question, I'll stop someone and say, hey, excuse me, stopping someone at random to ask them a really deep philosophical question. What do you believe happens when we die? Do you have any theories? And I've emphasized, I'm really asking you for your opinion. And you get a range. Some people have a view that they've had already. Some people have no idea and they don't know how you actually build an answer for that.
And you get to then engage with them by doing some wise question asking. Andrew Walkington, OAC, formerly known as Open Air. Who's in charge of your marketing department? Your branding people have really got to go online and start looking into the seeker-sensitive branding business.
Yeah, maybe.
And you can also see, Andrew, what's the web address where they might find you?
oac.org.au.
That's a lot. oac.org.au. If and you happen to be listening via radio, sorry, we're going to keep talking to Andrew Walkington. And you can hear the entire hour at fortisplus.org or wherever you do your podcasting business. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.